Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for September the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two. Dr. Scott Bradley with me. FreedomsRisingSun.com. To preserve the nation is his lifelong goal and collegiate series to match. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. I am happy to be along with you also. So let's see where this ride takes us.
Oh, man. It's hard to even know how to focus on the news here. There's so much of it. It is so out of control, Dr. Bradley. I mentioned to you just the other day, and I know a lot of us conservatives don't know how to handle these kind of discussions. Look, the government has become an enemy of the people. And I hate to make those kinds of claims, but when I see what the government is doing, and that's what we'll discuss this hour, several different points to highlight this concern in reality. And I hate to say this, but the government has gone rogue, and they have now become rogue agents in the government has now become an enemy of the people. And I'm here to prove it. Here's what the headline says, ladies and gentlemen. Congress prepares to increase the Pentagon's budget. The Democratic-controlled Congress literally has now changed. When they got in power, they said they were going to decrease the military. But they're on track now to increase the military budget by roughly $24 billion more than Biden had asked for, than Biden had requested. Think about that. So we, Dr. Bradley and myself, talked on the radio and said we're kind of at a crossroads in America. Will we double down and promote the military-industrial complex and the hawkish war agenda as a warlike people? Is that the road we're going down? Or are we going to humble ourselves and turn into a George Washington non-interventionist, humble foreign policy? And we're kind of at the crop. Now we see even the Democrats, who started out saying, hey, we're going to defund a lot of this, we're going to reduce spending on this, now they're in power, and now they're doubling down to go for even $24 billion more than Biden's even asking for. Dr. Bradley, this is insanity.
You know, as problematic as this is, and don't get me wrong, I'm not brushing this off and kind of giving it a pass, but let me tell you what else is in that defense budget that the Democrats in the House have put in. Women registering for the draft. This is something
that's been
blowing in the wind. It's been blowing in the wind for a long time, and last year in March, in fact, I've been focused on this for a long time because they've got a commission that reviewed it. They turned the report in March of 2020, but because of all of the, you know, the distraction that the nation had, they didn't have any hearings on it, to my knowledge anyway. I haven't been aware of any subcommittee meetings or anything like that that were carried out in the Congress. But they have not just suggested, they have proposed that all register for the draft. And they would have you serve in one of three kinds of categories, if you will. But at any rate, this is being carried forth without any real input from public. Now they claim they did this commission and they went to talk to stakeholders, if they will. They haven't even talked to our church. I mean, I would love to see what they told them. But the fact of the matter is, they went out and they did a stakeholder thing. By the way, when this first was being put together, I said, I will predict the outcome without ever having anything other than an announcement that this will be studied. Because what they do, they select carefully. They have a preconceived outcome. I've been on too many of these committees, you know, in business and academic worlds. And they have a preconceived decision that they have to justify through this fairness thing of talking to all the stakeholders, and then, oh my goodness, everybody's in favor of this. We love it. And so what they want to do is they want to have a universal draft. Now, right now we have in America a volunteer service. Okay, there's about 17% of the military is made up of women now. And in fact, they're getting more commissioned officers out of the women than they are out of the men. But the fact of the matter is, is we put our social agenda together, not we, not you, not me, but as the powers that be put the social agenda together, which will destroy the military cohesiveness, the unit cohesiveness, all that kind of stuff with the transgenders, the homosexuals, the issues of putting people in office that are politically correct in ranks and everything else like that, which, by the way, started with steroids at noon on January 20th, 1993. That's when Bill Clinton took office, and it has been in a steady degrade. We're 28 years into that now, and the military has just been gutted by this political agenda that they're doing. But so I think that those that would make our most effective fighting force are ultimately and finally going to be dissuaded from participating, from its true purpose, and it's going to be a political social club. And now they're saying, well, oh my goodness, let's get all the girls to register too. See, right now boys have to register at 18, particularly if they want to, you know, ever get a Pell Grant or anything like that. They kind of bribe them with that. And then if they get caught, there's penalties too. But what they're going to try and do, the bill currently, the defense bill that the House has put together says, girls 18 and older must register. Now, there isn't a top end, to my knowledge, that they got to have. Now, I have seen bills in previous Congresses that want to have a draft reinstituted, if we do go with the draft, that includes men and women, and includes up to age 35, no exemptions or exceptions. There's no deferments except mental or physical incapacity. So if you're mentally incompetent or physically, you know, in such a situation that, you know, you couldn't possibly serve, that's it. But if you're a woman with five children at age 32 and they do this thing, and again, we don't know the upper end of what might be brought into this, but this is egregious. It's abominable. It's diabolical. And what's happening, they've slipped this in there. So not only are they feathering the military-industrial complex nest with additional money and these eternal wars, and by the way, we could spend a few minutes, if you'd like to, on what the Founding Fathers felt about war, but the fact of the matter is we now are talking about sending our girls off. And by the way, of the 13 that were killed at this thing in the Kabul airport here a week ago, two of them were girls. And you say, oh no, there were women. Yeah, okay, fine, they were. But they were females, and these people are blown to bits. I mean, I'm telling you, 13 people killed. We've got 20 other Americans that were horribly wounded, and they say, oh, their wounds are consistent with this type of event. What does that mean? You lost arms and legs? You lost your eyes?
What do you expect blow up? That's, you know, normalcy for blow-ups. But all I'm telling you is when we're going to now literally double down and ask for 24 or, you know, approve or push for 24 billion more than Biden asked for in the first place, ladies and gentlemen. Think about this for a second. Biden requested a $715 billion budget in the first place. We're in over 130 nations militarily, even if we're supposedly out of Afghanistan. Which I believe that later you'll find out through the news that they left a bunch of people in Afghanistan to still try to destroy the hardware that we left over there or to try to whatever. And you'll find out we're not really totally out of there. We've got black op organizations there. We've got mercenaries on all kinds of places. But we're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, right now. We're spending literally almost $1 trillion, annually, because it's an annual budget, on war, ladies and gentlemen. We're not close to having a non-interventionist foreign policy, not even close. And we're at the crossroads to decide what we're going to do. And now you've got the Democrats and Republicans in lockstep to even spend more than Biden even asked for. And now you've got the Senate defense bill requiring women to register for the draft. I'm telling you right now, we've turned our back on God. We've turned our back on in my opinion, the fundamental roles of male and female. It is out of control. And this is one reason, I'm going to keep this theme alive, this is one reason that I say the government, rogue agents in government now, are against the people. They become our enemy. literally trying to force our women off to war. You could have a married wife that's 30 years old, and they could just literally haul her off to war, put her on the front lines. We have to. This is a desperate time, desperate measure. Okay, this is insanity. But this is what the government would force upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, what is it called? Conscription? By force? This is a force thing. If there's a just war, ladies and gentlemen, Congress should declare it and the people will back it. If it's not a just war, then you have all kinds of people that don't want to go. You can see why, but government wants to force women to go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is disaster. So that's one way I'm telling you right now that government has now gone rogue and it's against the people. Here's another way. I don't know if you've read this headline, Dr. Bradley, but here's what it says. Justice Department agents now get first body cameras. So the reason that they have body cameras now is because they are armed to the teeth at the Justice Department. And they kick in doors and create all kinds of mischief. And now it's so egregious. They've been caught so many times fraudulently doing these things, abusing the people to the point where now they say, we got to get the Justice Department cameras to go along with their guns. So maybe we can have a little bit of reality check on what they're doing day to day and how abusive they really are. But you know what? Why give them cameras? Why give them guns? Where is their authority in the Constitution for us to have a Justice Department that's armed to the teeth and then breaching state sovereignty every time they go into the 50 states of the Union and then violating the county's jurisdictional reality when they go into counties? Where is the authority to do this in the first place? We need to call a halt to the con game. Dr. Bradley's response in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live radio talk show.
I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. As a teenager, I gave my first public speech in my church. My hand shook, my heart pounded. I thought to myself, I can't do this, but somehow I did, and because I wanted to talk about things that were important, I persisted. I chided my church as a senior in high school for not seeming to care about the not yet born, for looking the other way, and for not taking a stand on life.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So Dr. Scott Bradley with me. We're talking about this deal. It's insane. The Justice Department now is so abusive with their hardcore weapons, violating the sovereignty of states and counties, etc. And now they're going to get body cameras to make sure that we have accountability there, doctor.
Okay, there's so many levels and layers of this that we need to peel. But I want to come back, maybe if we got time, to the idea of immunity, which is an un-American philosophy that has become a growing smear on what happens with the American, just anybody in office as well as those that are enforcing, if you will, enforcers, if you will. But let's talk for just a minute about, you mentioned the constitutionality of the actions of justice departments and so on. I think we ought to point out that they were very few offenses that Congress can either define or punish that are in the United States Constitution. And the idea that just felonies that are not enumerated with the United States Constitution are left to the jurisdiction of the state. That's a simple fact, and I'll give you two quick quotations from St. George Tucker, whom we've introduced before to your listeners as probably the preeminent constitutional scholar of the founding era. In this one, which is just a few lines, and then we'll go over to another one that reiterates this again, but here's what he said. The very guarded manner in which Congress are vested with authority to legislate upon the subjects of crimes and misdemeanors. They are not entrusted with the general power over these subjects, but a few offenses are selected from the great mass of crimes with which society may be infested, upon which only Congress are authorized to prescribe the punishments or define the offense. All felonies and offenses committed upon land in all cases not expressly enumerated being reserved to the states respectively. Okay, that sounds unequivocal to me, but here's another statement he made. The Congress of the United States possesses no power to regulate or interfere with the domestic concerns or police of any state. It belongs not to them to establish any rules respecting the rights of property, nor will the Constitution permit any prohibition of arms to the people or of peaceable assemblies by them for any purposes whatsoever and in any number whensoever they may see occasion. Okay, so this is an unequivocal, all-encompassing ban on federal involvement. Okay, there was no, just read the 45th Federalist paper, They're few, and those powers are few and defined, but this was a more expansive statement. And what has happened, there's been this ever expanding encroachment. I think I may have told you at one point I was up hiking or cross country skiing in the woods one day, and I passed a sign on federal land that said it is a federal offense to deface this sign or something to that effect. And I muttered under my breath, not because I'm a scofflaw or because I wanted to deface anything. I just said, so what? Everything is a federal offense nowadays. In fact, just let me give you something that is absolutely atrocious to think. As these passport, what do they call them, the COVID passports? Anyway, as they're becoming a demand across the nation, there is a strong movement to impress everyone with the idea that it's a federal offense if you in any way, shape, or form counterfeit one of these things. And there are years of penalties and tens of thousands of dollars or fines for this. And you go, whoa, wait. It's a piece of paper. And for a federal offense to suddenly be made on this kind of thing, you've heard of the ones in Hawaii that went there with some phonied up passports. And it's like, who cares? And they're making this a federal case now, and so everything is becoming federalized, and it's a complete encroachment of anything the American Founding Fathers originally established. And then, if we can circle back, they give immunity for these violations. You know, you say they're going to wear their cameras. It's like,
yeah,
so
body
what?
Cameras for accountability there. I say if we want accountability, why are we trying to disarm the American people who have a God-given inalienable right of self-defense codified in the Second Amendment? We're disarming the American people, but yet we want to arm these government agents, the Justice Department, to the teeth. Then when they abuse their power, we say put body cameras on them to try to create accountability. We've lost our minds in the government. Rogue agents have become an enemy of the people, Doctor.
Well, that's the thing, and we have not only encouraged it and facilitated it, and Congress claims to have given these powers, which was clearly stated. And by the way, you heard in that second quotation I mentioned by St. George Tucker, prohibition of arms to the people can't be done. And that is the cross the board, we're in violation of that. But this immunity thing is really another problematic issue. Because back in it was probably about the 1970s, might have been late 60s, I think it was, the Supreme Court invented this thing about immunity, and it was for officers that overstepped their bounds, and yet they were fulfilling their duty, and no, they can't be sued, and they can't be held responsible. It has been something virtually every state has embraced, and the feds, although there's no law on the books that says this, the courts are handling it as a whole harmless kind of thing, and that is not Americanist. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, you know, the king could do no wrong. You know, the king's word is the law, and all that kind of stuff was the monarch was the law. You know, but the Declaration of Independence says no, that ain't true. Here's 27 egregious violations, offenses of the king that we say these are worth going to war over. Okay, so they enumerated 27 things. And then when they wrote the Constitution, they put this thing in there called impeachment. And so they can not only be charged, they can be removed from office. And then they put in a thing that said they can be charged in criminal court and go to prison or, you know, put to death. It depends on the, you know, whatever the crime was. But the fact of the matter is the Americanist philosophy is we hold everybody responsible. Nobody is above the law. And if you get, and we could give you many numerous examples of violations by those that enforce the law. I had a discussion earlier this week with a legislator in regards to this idea that they've become enforcers. They have become more of a, shall we say, a kick the door in and you know, throw them on the ground and so on and so forth. We're taking a war mentality all too often.
And that's why we increase the war funding, then what happens is more and more and more of these warriors come back, and then we put them in our police forces. We put them in our military domestically. We put them in all these different places, security agents and everything else. And then, hey, they get into the Justice Department, and they get all these different places. And then they get crazy with their weapon, and then we're like, hey, let's get a camera on this thing to create accountability. But even if there's supposed accountability on a once-in-a-while basis, the reality is their immunity protects them to the point where there's no real accountability. There might be once-in-a-while an example where you say, hey, I'm glad on this one. But 9 times out of 10 cases, even with the cops, you might even have immigrant, not even American citizen cops abusing people. And then, you know, where does this go? And so you get this Justice Department, I mean, jettison justice, with this, quote, federal armed-to-the-teeth mandate. Now they become kind of the internal military, if you will, or the internal federal police force, violating state sovereignty, violating the checks and balances, violating county sovereignty, literally going in and just abusing people left and right. And what's our response? Let's give more money to the military. Then the military doesn't need all this military hardware, so they either leave it over there in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever for the terrorists to use on a foreign basis, or then they sell them or give them to local police departments and sheriff's departments around the country, and then they bring back these trained, highly military people or immigrants. They create these police forces who have all this military hardware, and then they're like, hey, we need some body cameras, please. We got to have accountability around here. This is what I'm talking about when I say the government, rogue agents have become an enemy of the people. They are literally gearing up, considering we the people, as their enemy in a war they're waging now. It's un-American.
Unfathomable,
un-American, unbelievable, but at the same time, it's blatantly happening. And I, you know what? I try to be careful with my words because I don't want to ratchet this up. At the same time, though, I have to raise the alarm bells. When they literally want to haul my daughters off to war, ladies and gentlemen, when they literally want to increase the Pentagon's budget and both sides of the aisles are ready to do it, we're in debt forever, we're in over 130 nations militarily, then they want to bring all that military hardware to bear locally. They want to bring people that are illegal immigrants or non-American citizens, put them in the police forces. They want this Justice Department armed to the teeth and then give them cameras. It gets worse, Dr. Bradley. Now San Francisco is going to use tax dollars to flat-out fund criminals. Have you heard about this one?
I haven't heard about this one, but before we leave this one, I want to tell you a real-life scenario that we should be very concerned about when we get back.
Live scenario in seconds. San Francisco next. You are listening to Dr. Scott Bradley on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, is urging his Democrat colleagues to hit the pause button on a $3.5 trillion spending bill, citing more urgent priorities like the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and a spike in COVID-19 cases is what America's attention should be focused on. A former district attorney in Georgia was indicted on charges of violating her oath of office and obstructing a police officer in connection with an investigation into the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Former Brunswick Judicial Prosecutor Jackie Johnson is accused of showing favor to defendant Greg McMichael, who had worked for her in the past as an investigator. McMichael and his son chased Arbery as he jogged and shot him on February 23, 2020 in Brunswick. The event was recorded by a friend of McMichael's in a car trailing the suspect's truck. McMichael's, his son, and the man who recorded the shooting have pled not guilty in the murder and are due to begin their trial in that case next month. USA Radio News.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
The State Department is attempting to reunite several children who were separated from their parents during the chaos of the evacuation flights out of Kabul, Afghanistan. John Clements from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Some were voluntarily given even to strangers by their Afghan parents who at any cost wanted their children to live in freedom away from the Taliban. State Department spokesman Ned Price says they're trying to do all they can to reunite the children with their families.
As soon as a minor child is identified as being without any trusted adult, we immediately begin working to reunite these identified minors with their families and with their loved ones.
Ida came ashore as a powerful Category 4 hurricane Sunday, drenching the Gulf Coast with a lot of fresh water. The storm surge and winds caused by Ida were so strong, they even partially reversed the flow of the Mississippi River near New Orleans. That's something that's extremely uncommon, according to the United States Geological Survey. USA Radio News.
Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Be patient. He's been deplatformed, but he's bringing back his 1,000-plus educational videos and more. Pay attention to his weekly webinars, live interactions from you, Q&A, and more on the Constitution, helping people understand the proper role of limited constitutional government, replete with its separate branches of government. Yeah, you got checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, vertical and a horizontal, and you can learn all about them in the weekly webinars and more. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Dr. Bradley has a real live example about, you know, how government's just out of control, declaring war on the people, virtually speaking. Doctor?
Well, here we are in the middle of this discussion about overreach of power, this police force that maybe gets out of track, this idea that we can have non-Americans, non-citizens, actually in our police force, and the militarization of the police and so on and so forth. Okay, so here we are in the middle of this kind of perfect storm. And what is coming to a cell phone near you? Our digital driver's licenses. Okay, Utah right now is signed up. They're going to do a pilot test for these digital driver licenses. They're supposed to be fully launched in 2022. So you might note that that's not that many months away. I don't know when it'll come out in 2022. But you say, that'd be so cool. I always have my cell phone with me. Maybe it'd be cool not to have to carry my wallet, or if I left it home or something like that, I could prove to the officer that I've got a driver license, and maybe that would be a very convenient kind of benefit of this kind of thing. By the way, this has nothing – well, I don't know if we'll have time to talk at length about what if their database is wrong, which I have personal family experience with, where the police database – had a driver license expired that the driver license in hand said, no, it's not. And there was a big to-do about it. But at any rate, that's maybe a side story. But these digital driver licenses will not just be your driver license. There's other items that can be tracked or added at a different time. And these are
Your vaccine passport's a good starting point for that, doctor.
That's number two on my list, health records. Well, I guess that's a vaccine passport. But vaccine records, financial reports, credit scores, travel records, taxes, vehicle
Don't worry about that, though, doctor. The Justice Department's getting cameras, so it's going to be okay.
After vehicle registration, we have spending, voting, sex offender status. I don't know how many would have that, but maybe some do. Licenses and permits.
Well, we all have
all
a status.
Kinds.
Ours are no, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, right.
Just want to be clear.
Dietary preferences, outstanding parking fees and fines, background checks, rewards programs, and here's a good one, coming straight from the old Communist Party in China, social credit scoring. All of these things can be captured on an app that the state is going to be testing. The state of Utah, I know that's happening. I don't know if other states will get on board with this thing, but they're looking for having digital driver licenses rolled out in 2022. Now, you think for a moment, if you hand your phone to an officer, it's not going to be any good. You've got to unlock it. Okay, so this officer now has in his or her hands obtained the keys to the kingdom, if you will, about your life without having a search warrant. It's the Fourth Amendment on steroids being violated. See, the officer can't just say, oh, well, yeah, I've got your cell phone, but that doesn't mean you can drive. You got to unlock it for me. Okay, well, if I unlock my cell phone, suddenly that officer has access to anything and everything, your call records. I mean, anything you may have done. I mean, some people, I guess, they buy things off their cell phones. I guess they could do that. I mean, who knows? Who knows what it'll be? But the fact of the matter
is...
Yeah,
I'm back in my patrol car, and I'm looking through your phone there, and I hear you, or I see that you listen to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Uh-oh.
You know, I don't like that. Those guys are crazy. We got... You know what? Nail this guy to the wall, buddy.
It's a Fourth Amendment.
It's out of control, folks.
It's Fourth Amendment, folks, and if you let this happen, and I have been working, I mean, you know, our Utah legislature's got to get in front of this. This should have a spontaneous abortion. I mean, it should not be aborted. It not should not be allowed to be born live. By the way, maybe we'll talk about the new abortion developments with the Supreme Court in Texas, but we got
yeah,
so
we've been
many
talking
things
about
to
it all
to,
week.
Sam.
So here's the headline for this, Dr. Bradley. Driver's license on your phone? There's an app for that.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the intention is to roll it out next year. And again, this is, you know, it's so convenient. Just give me your driver license. But you give them access to your life if you give them the phone. For some people, it's more that way than others, not so much with me. But think about the Fourth Amendment. Just it absolutely is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And the legislatures are going to be pushing this through. And it'll be sold to everybody in America as such a convenience because we all have our phones. And what's the next step? A chip in your right hand or on your forehead? What do you say, baby? You know, I mean, we're moving so fast that these things can be actually embedded in us if you want to. And so just think about this. It should die an ignominious death.
So think about this then. The government wants access to your cell phone. You would have to unlock it, give it to the cops. What if he just says, you know, I can't give this back? And then what if they have the ability then to somehow connect it to something and say, we'll make sure this phone doesn't log out. Or now that we're logged in, we can change the password before we log out. And so, therefore, now we have complete control of your phone. We've changed the password. And we're not going to give it back because you know what? We got to research this phone and make sure there's no statements against vaccines or, you know, where's the next level?
Why don't they just download
everything
that you've got?
Right now, you're just a boss by Twitter. Right now, you're just a boss by Twitter and Facebook. But how long will it be until government says, you know, you can't say that? You can't think that. You can't believe that. Because if you do. Now, they're partnering with criminals, though. And so you need to crank up your criminal activity so you can get a paycheck, doctor. Headline says San Francisco will roll out a program in October. They're going to start out with a pilot project paying 10 people $300 a month not to shoot anyone. Okay? It's a pretty cool deal. And they call it the city's Dream Keeper Fellowship Program. And look, if you're going to commit or be likely a victim of a shooting, you can qualify for this program, okay? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, San Francisco is paying people not to shoot one another. Officials in San Francisco, believe it or not, while they're cranking up this program, funding and rewarding the criminals for not committing violence against one another, officials in San Francisco at the same time vowed to defund the police budget by $120 million over the next 2 years. So look, fire the cops and pay the criminals to keep the peace. There you go, San Francisco, baby. It's unbelievable, doctor.
You know, at some point, I have to suspect that California, I mean, God's a lot more patient than I am. I mean, I have to admit that, and it's a good thing. But at some point, and it's George Mason said this in the Constitutional Convention, he talked about that nations don't exist in the eternities, and consequently, they get their rewards or their punishment through a natural, you know, state of affairs that occur in mortality. And sooner or later, there will be an accountability for all of the horrific things that are happening. It's just that, you know, it's such a burden for all of us that look at the criminal activity that really is taking place. Frederick Bastiat, the little French guy that wrote The Law and some other economic writings and philosophies, he talked about how those that hold power oftentimes they write the laws to protect themselves and carrying out the stuff that they consider what they desire. And he calls it legalized plunder. And he says that the gendarmes, you know, he's French, the police help them carry out their criminal activity. And it is legal for them to legally plunder, you know. And so there's no, you're not going to go to prison for this. And you know, people ought to read Bastiat's little book, The Law. I mean, you can read it in one sitting. You'll be cheering all the way through if you love liberty. But it's one of those things where those that are pulling the levers of government today are pulling them on behalf of this legalized plunder, one way or the other. I mean, whether it's on behalf of their lobbyists like the military-industrial complex or the pharma companies who really are bigger than the military-industrial complex in terms of their lobbying dollars spent and the dollars they make, they really are the biggest dollar by any measurement. And they're getting protected by, you know, emergency use authorizations that keep them from being, responsible, from 1986 laws that the Congress and Reagan signed that won't let you sue them for anything that they do with their activities. There's people that are actually, they buy the influence through their bought and paid for representatives. And, you know, they have people like Orrin Hatch, former Utah senator, that protected the opioid manufacturers when this huge burden was being placed on the nation, which is still not the end of yet. And it's criminalized, made legal, because the people are voting for the pulling of the levers on their behalf.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hang tight. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Back with you live, Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a variety of subjects, but all obviously related to the sacred cause of liberty and the defense thereof, which we are highly engaged in and have been so for decades, ladies and gentlemen. So you are finishing, Dr. Bradley?
I don't know. It's just so disheartening to think even. I mean, you just think of what is happening now, and I could give you quotations by American founding fathers, and you know me, I like to get the gory details going on these things. But we have come to a place where, and you know, say, are the enemies of the people. I'll go so far as to say that the Biden administration is not only illegitimate and unauthorized, it is fraudulent. And it doesn't just end there. This has been going on across the board. I mean, I think of, you look at our Utah legislature, for example, and how they have violated the Constitution of Utah. You look at how the governor of the state of Utah, and this is not just in our state, but I'm particularly sensitive to that because we've been watching it unfold while they violate their oath of office, and the legislature gets together and they glad-hand themselves and pat themselves on the behind and say they're doing such a great job, when in essence, every one of them really has been inviolated. I think, again, let's just take the one example, where Utah, without one dissenting vote, this last legislature decided that, oh, it's okay if non-citizens become our police officers. These are the people coming in your home
Insanity.
In your most vulnerable times, picking up your daughter or granddaughter on a lonely highway in a stretch someplace that there's no radio contact. I mean, these are the people that might get your cell phone and download everything that's on it, or that they might, in some other manner. Oh, let's talk about checkpoints. You know what happened in Utah this last spring was that the governor activated a cell phone tracking mechanism by which everybody that came into the state, whether you landed at the airport and you turned your cell phone on in the airplane, or you crossed, coming into Utah on I-80 or I-15 or whatever, and suddenly you got this emergency thing that says, warning, you got to register with us. All you people have got to be, not only social distancing, but we've got to make sure that everybody isolates, blah, 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 blah. Well, how far are we from that when we get these digital driver licenses? How far are we from where our technology could literally, if we get to the point where they won't let you track between states, because
so we literally
they have
gut
checkpoints.
The sheriff's departments, we defund
Absolutely.
The police, and
Absolutely.
Now we're going to roll out plans to pay criminals not to shoot each other. Pretty soon we'll pay people not to do drugs. Pretty soon we'll pay people not to do prostitution. Hey, if you don't sleep with everybody, we'll pay you monthly to not prostitute yourself. And okay, it's insane. Yes, San Francisco's paying people not to shoot one another, ladies and gentlemen. Then they vow to cut the police department. All right, now listen up, though. The World Health Organization now is monitoring a new coronavirus variant. They say that could potentially evade vaccine immunity. They call it the B.1621 variant, also called, and you can help me with this, Dr. Bradley, MU, capital M, lowercase u. What do you call that thing, mu? Moo?
To tell you the truth, it's a B, a Bravo, S, Sierra.
I heard that, but they're calling it Mu.
But the fact is,
say that
no
it was
Sam.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? You're never going to get over this thing.
You'll never
be fully vaccinated. You will never go
now,
back to normal.
Now, here's the thing that I find fascinating, Doctor. I've got to get to this, though. So they say this one was first reported in Colombia in January 2021. They say it has now been detected in 39 countries and was now added to the WHO's, the World Health Organization's coronavirus watch list. Okay, now, the WHO didn't say whether this thing was, whether the Mu variant was deadlier or more easily transmissible than other corona strains or whatever you want to call it, variants or whatever else. But here's my question, and I don't understand this because I'm kind of stupid, all right? So help out a poor, feeble mind such as mine and see if you can bring reason to this for me. So the coronavirus goes to all these countries. It magically appears in these countries. It then morphs in these countries. So you got the China version, the original. You got the European version. You got the version that came out of Africa, the Delta version. You got the version that came out of India or whatever. You got the version that comes out of all these different countries. Now, you could say, well, Sam, there's different people with different body characteristics. That's why the mutations. Okay, maybe. But how do these Delta virants, you know, variants and all this stuff, how does the coronavirus know, hey, man, I'm in Colombia now. I better morph so we have a Colombia version. Hey, I'm in the Philippines now, or I'm in the whatever. And so now you got this version and this version. How do these versions come out of these different countries? It's almost like every country has to have their own version. How does it just cruise across the world as Delta variant? But yet somehow when it gets to Colombia, it's like, whoop. Now we got the MU version, or whatever, Mu version. And this one, you know, it got detected there. Now it's everywhere, too. What I'm telling you is these viruses that somehow know country boundaries and somehow know, I don't understand it, ladies and gentlemen. It didn't morph. The Delta variant didn't morph all around the world except in Colombia. It just took on a whole new whatever. And then now that's going to spread around the world and stay the same so that it can... We're being played for suckers, Doctor.
Well, you know, they honestly, and I've said this so many times that I'm sure people are sick of hearing it, and those that are in the establishment view will say, oh, we've been following the science. But there hasn't been a shred of science in any of this stuff. I mean, they can make this up as they go, and they have been. Every single thing that's happened has been made up. And when you say, "Oh, I got my jab. I'm now immune." No, you're not. No, you are not. And in fact, you still have all of the risks. You cannot prevent it from being spread. You cannot be prevented from catching it. You have to wear a mask. You have to social distance. You have to hand sanitize, and you have to fear. That's the biggest thing. You must fear. And that's where they're going with this. It's control, control, control. It's never going to end. You will never be fully vaccinated. And the Israelis have just proven that. By the way, they've said, your passport is expiring because you got to get your booster shot. And so you're going to have to get a booster shot, I don't know, every 2 months? I mean, based on how many variants.
Yeah, they're working on it three times a year is what they're saying right now, but yes.
At least, well, why won't it be six? Who cares? Every 2 months, you got to get it. You will never be out from under their control, and if you give them your information, you will be contacted. Oh, you're now expired. You've got to come in for your shot. You
all right, but understand, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Rogan gets over COVID in a couple of days using ivermectin. But you know what their response to that is, Doctor?
Well, it's horseworming medicine, and you got to ridicule
right.
it.
And
I mean,
now they're trying
so ridiculous.
I just talked to a doctor yesterday, and now they're trying to outlaw ivermectin.
Well, of course they do, because it takes away the steam out of what they're trying to do. And by the way, the largest medical, I guess you'd call them provider. I guess that to me is a stretch, because I'm not sure that much medical or provision goes on. It's a money-making organization, but they will not. They refuse to study it and these kinds of things. They eliminate them, and I've done a little research behind it. You know, you've heard of the World Economic Council, these people in Utah, there may be people, you guys look in your own states if you're somewhere else, but in Utah, these people are the World Economic Forum's strategic partner on medical things. What does that mean?
World Economic Forum. It means breach the sovereignty of the United States and put yourself on a global stage to be mandated by global bureaucrats, unnamed, unaccountable, etc., armed to the teeth. This is what I mean. When you do this stuff, at some point you start to become an enemy of the people. All right, with the remaining time, Dr. Bradley, you mentioned that you wanted to talk about the heartbeat bill in Texas.
Well, you know, you can't do it justice in the time, but people need to know this could be a watershed moment on Roe v. Wade. I mean, this bill, I mean, literally it says, you can't abort after 6 weeks of pregnancy. I mean, from conception. And the problem that is that the government, I mean, the Joe Bidens have just gone ballistic on this thing, and the Planned Parenthood rallying against it and everything. It's a woman's right to kill her child and all this kind of stuff. It's Roe v. Wade in 73, and they are absolutely over the top on it. But this does another thing. It allows private citizens to sue when these things happen. You don't have to take a government agency to do it. So these kinds of things, this could really be a model for what other states could do. And the Supreme Court, 5-4 ruling, go ahead, baby. This is something that really could change the whole landscape.
And we can certainly hope and pray for that and advocate for that where we are, right?
Absolutely. But here's the deal. It's all hands on deck by the people that are opposed to this. They want to be able to continue to kill babies, the most innocent, the most vulnerable, the most, the ones that have no advocacy. And, you know, you say, well, the mother should, the father should be an advocate. But no, the mothers and the fathers oftentimes do this. This is something, to me, I liken it to Moloch, the ancient god that ancient Israel and other lands and peoples in the Middle East did. They sacrificed their children to the god Moloch, and it's for their convenience to please the god or whatever. This is what abortion has become, as a convenient out for people that don't want to be bothered right now. Oh, I got to finish school first. Or, oh, I'm at a point in my career that if I had a baby that I had to, oh, man, I'll never be able to break through the glass ceiling or reach my pure pinnacle that I'm trying to reach in my career, blah, 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 blah. So the children become the sacrificial lambs to this god of selfishness, or I mean, there's any number of reasons people do it, but this bill, it might we're going to have to really pay some attention to this, because the opposition to this is going to be over the top. There is not going to be any there's no quarter going to be offered on this. They're going to go any way they can, and by the way, I've been tracking the I look for many news sources, and I find many of them that, you know, you can, over the years, you kind of develop this is their focus. This is their politics. This is their agenda, whatever. Some of them have begun their spin in such a manner now that, I don't know, there may be violence in the streets. I mean, there's some people that are sure chapped about this. So it's an interesting development. It truly is.
Well, it's time for us, ladies and gentlemen, to take pro-life seriously, to turn to God Almighty and to repent. We've already murdered 60-plus million since Roe versus Wade, and now it's time to stand up for the most innocent among us. This is our opportunity and our chance. Now, you know what? They say everything's bigger and better in Texas. I'm happening to agree on this point, and I'm also saying each state needs to double down. Ron DeSantis of Florida is talking about it already. We need to make sure that our state is talking about it also. We got a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. Final word to you, Doctor.
Well, you know what? This is one little piece that could be really good news, but to tell you the truth, there's so much mud been thrown against the wall on the bad side. We've got to keep paying attention and keep scraping it off.
You know what? By small things, God accomplishes great things. So even though it looks to the mortal man like, you know what, we're in a world of hurt and we can never solve it, I'm here to tell you that this nation shall endure. I believe there will be a righteous people prepared and ready to meet their Savior Jesus Christ when he returns. I pray and will do all within my power to be one of them if I'm still on the earth at that time. In the meantime, I'll advocate it for future generations. Hope you'll do the same. For Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and I am Sam Bushman, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.